Welcome to Platform for Peaks, teaching students to be leaders, doctors to be businessmen, and developing the platforms needed to jump into practice and be successful. I'm your host, Dr. Joseph Clarino. Welcome to Platform for Peaks.
Hey guys, welcome to an episode of Platform for Peaks. I'm Dr. Joe Clarino, your host. Super excited to have you guys today. This is one that I know every one of you are looking and want to listen to. This is the one you're going to listen to it 20 times because it's so, so important. We're going to be covering today how to start up a new practice, costs, what are the overheads, how do I pay myself, how do I leverage out so much money, how do I market this thing, how do I even get my head around this giant thing, where do I find cash? So we're going to go over a lot of different subject matters, hopefully get through all of it today. Before I do that, we have a female honorary guest here today that never shows up. It's my wife, Dr. Deb Cerrone. Say hello.
Hey.
So she decided to come out of the dungeon and come out and hang out with us. In the meantime, we got the rest of the studs here. Say hello, guys.
Hey, it's Dr. Rhett.
It's Dr. Matt.
It's Dr. Wes.
So listen, let's dive in. Oh, Dr. Matt, you know, congratulate him. He's an official guy now, man. He's licensed and insured. He's legit to quit. So I'm pretty excited about it. He's on the floor now doing his real thing. And we're really glad to have him on board with us. So we're super excited for that. So let's dive in, guys. Let's go after this thing. So we've covered a lot of different subjects. And let me just give you a little bit of overview on what this thing is. Number one question I get all the time is, how do I start a practice? What do I do in a practice? How do I finance a practice? How do I lease a practice? Do I rent a practice? Do I buy another existing practice? What are all these questions that come into it, and where do you even start? And so I think the fundamental basis is, what is money? I mean, let's break it down to cash, right? That's where I think everything works outside of cash. And so it really is relative to the amount of cash you have. Does it equal the success that you have? No. Everybody thinks because mommy or daddy bought you a big $200,000, $300,000 practice, that you're going to be successful. And I often, 95% of the time, end up saying, because it was giving to you, you end up not doing it. So that is, I think, furthest from the truth. I've seen the offices that start up with toothpicks and borrowed pencils from the bingo hall end up being the most successful practices. So, you know, there's something to be said about that whole thing. But we talked about a few things, Dr. Matt, today. And one of the things was, when you come out of the box, how do you find money, right? And we made some jokes around this, but what were some of the options that we thought we could find some money for these practices?
Well, the number one option you're looking for is, you want to marry a rich girl with a rich dad. So
that's a generous rich dad.
So just start thinking, start looking as much as you can for that, and you'll be set.
Yeah, they're out there. They're unicorns, but they're out there.
But besides that, we got into just different ways that you can start to talk to the banks and actually receive money. And there's a bunch of different ways to do that. But you got to think about what your capital is and how much you need for your opening. And there's a million different little things that go into that that, I mean, I wasn't even aware of. But now I'm like, okay, I didn't even think about that. I really, really have to, like, set all this out and figure out how much do I need, not only to open, but to survive while I'm planning my opening.
So, Dr. Rhett, like, when we open up, right, besides having a rich girlfriend or wife's parents or your parents, how do you get money? Is a bank a pretty good option?
Unfortunately, not for a lot of chiropractors, especially students that are just starting out, because they want to see your income the past couple years. If they're going to give you any money, they want to see money in your bank account already. And for a lot of students, that's just not the case.
Not the case. So you're already in debt. Mm-hmm. Trying to come out. You have no equity position. You have no money coming in. So you have no income-driven process. They're going to leverage that out. And so from there, they're looking at you like, what are you going to do? So a small business association, we talked about this briefly, Dr. West, is that an option?
It is an option. And one nice thing about small business associations, if you actually meet them, they are a state-run government organization. Right. So it's actually free service to work on your business plan. So it's a really good way to, like, kind of go in and get your portfolio set up.
Yeah, I hear you.
But the problem is, if they offer you a loan, they're going to give you, you know, 15-20% interest rate, and they might cap you at $50,000 when you might need $80,000 to do the build out and get the first 3 to 6 months of fees.
Yeah, so when I looked at mine years and years ago, the origination fee was like $15K. So the origination fee is basically what they charge you for the loan. And then you have closing costs on top of that. So it may cost you $15,000-$20,000 to get the money. That is, so that's a quarter. Say you took out $80,000, it's a quarter of the money So you're really in it for 100 if you need the full 80. Mm-hmm. So you got to go for 100 to get that money. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Or you take the 80 and they take the 20 out and then you only have 60. So you're upside down, right? So Dr. Deb, just explain what we did when we first opened and how we were able to leverage, and we got lucky, but at the same token, we leveraged what was there, and talk about how that unfolded for us and what we did.
So truly a blessing when we found the home that we decided to open our practice in. We asked the owner if he would be the bank for us, and he asked us to go ahead and make up a business plan, which we did, and we came back to him and then asked him to hold the mortgage, made an amortization schedule, and we paid him just as if we would pay the bank, and we did that for 2 years until we could go to the bank, show them that we made money, show them that we had money in the bank, and then we got our own mortgage.
Yeah, and so what we did for that, what that scenario was, we bought the house, right? And the house was, say, $200,000 value, and that's what the going market for the house was. We offered him to like $210,000, $215,000. So I offered him a higher price on the house because he would be holding the mortgage, but give me a normal interest rate, like a standard interest rate. And then we create an amortization rate, which is basically like, what's the payment schedule for the next 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, depending on how long you amortize it. So often anything commercial is usually 15 to 20 years. So if you guys go out there and think it's 30 years like residential, it doesn't happen that way. It's going to be 15, 20 year loans on commercial. Sometimes depending on the type of loan, sometimes they even arm it at 5. They make it like basically where it's at 5 years. Sometimes they arm it, which means like this. They say, you pay this payment for the first 5 years, and then it's balloons after that. So what happens is like they'll set it up where they say, you pay $1,000 for the first 5 years, and after 5 years, we're going to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to reassess this loan, but the mortgage is due. The loan is due in 5 years. Now, it's in their best interest that they want to keep you on board, but they don't have to. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. So in those 5 years, you better make some good changes and do things. Otherwise, they can say, well, I'm calling the note. You got to come up with the rest of the money or find another lending provider to make that money. So,
and that can work. We've done it.
We've done it. It can work. Just got to be really cautious about it. The good thing about an ARM is that often the ARM, the percentage of interest rate, is lower in the first 5 years than a standard rate. So instead of saying being 8%, they may do it at 4% for the first 5 years. And they amortize it over 15 or 20. So really, when you look at it, it's like, the way the money works out, it's like a 30-year amortization just by the way they did it. Does that make sense?
And your payments are lower in those first 5 years than they would if you just did a straight up.
Right, right. So you're able to leverage that cash because you don't want to spend a lot of money out front when you're first opening. You're trying to leverage it down, but sometimes an ARM is a good situation to be in there because you know in 5 years, you bet your ass you better be successful in 5 years, right?
Yeah. Word of advice, take the full amount of the loan, what you would have paid otherwise, and set the rest of that money aside or pay it toward the principal, pay down the loan.
It's a great idea. It's a great point. Great point. So let's talk about startup costs, right? Big subject matter. And so there, that was one. So let me go back one step. That was just trying to find money. There's also private equity companies that are going to charge you a pretty good percentage of rate for cash. And you got to be really careful on all these things because when you start going to private equity, which is like somebody who wants to lend you cash, there's some good in that and bad in that. The good in it is that you don't need a bank. The bad in that is that often in the language in which they're discussing, it can get very complicated and sketchy at best if you don't know who you're working with and you don't have a good attorney behind you. So my suggestion is anytime you do any kind of money transactions, anytime you do any kind of lease purchase, anytime you're doing anything major like that's going to be a big purchase buy, you better have someone review it for you and find someone reputable that understands those kind of contracts. And it's worth the $500. I know at first it sounds like $1 billion. It's worth the money because that $500 can cost you $50,000, $500,000, whatever it is. I'm telling you, listen, business language, you learn it as you go through time. But when you're new and this language comes out, you don't understand the lingo and how to read the contracts. Thank God over the years I've had to read hundreds of them. So I've gotten better at it. But even at that, I still call an attorney to this day and say, review this for me real quick. And he's like, no problem. He'll call me back and say, I reviewed it. Everything's good. $200. It's a $200 insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Don't learn the hard way.
Don't learn the hard way. Right? So Dr. West, give me some startup things. Give me some costs that are in a startup.
So you're going to be looking at like decor. You want to be looking at x-rays, build out, flooring, all that type of stuff.
Right. So we talked about leasing. Let's go into that for a second, because I think that's part of the initial part of that build out, and there's so many things in that. So do you rent? Do you lease? Do you buy? Like, what do you do? Like, what's the, what do you think? What do you think, Dr. Rhett?
Well, it kind of depends on the lease style that's out there. And a previous episode, the podcast, they talk about single net leases and triple net leases.
Just to find out real quick, because I'm not sure if we actually went over that or not. So a triple net lease is what, Dr. Matt, remember?
I know a triple net lease is what you don't want. You want a single net lease.
Right.
Why? You have a triple net lease. For example, say you had a building in Manhattan and something breaks, you're responsible for everything. Whereas in the single net
lease. Define everything.
Everything.
So like, space that you are even.
The space that you're buying out.
So
anything
the roof
inside
leaks.
Your space.
The roof leaks.
Your roof leaks, air conditioning breaks, whatever it is.
The parking lot outside breaks? Yeah, you're responsible for it. So triple net leases, again, there's different languages in these leases, so don't go to your dad who's a business guy and say, this guy said this, and he's wrong because that doesn't happen that way. Listen, anything inside of language of anything can be changed. So normally, triple net leases is you own everything. You own the AC, the roof, the parking lot, you own everything. And so therefore, you better go out there and do that.
Yeah. Now, own meaning are responsible for,
right.
But don't ever actually take ownership of.
Right. So triple net leases are tough. I've had doctors call me and say, man, the only thing around me is triple net lease. Guess what? You do the triple net lease. You got no option. Everything in your sector that you want to be in is triple net. So you better do diligence with your inspections and make sure that this stuff is up to par, it's working, it's newer, that the air conditioning is working, the roof's not going to leak, all that kind of stuff, because you don't want to get in a building and you're there 6 months and the guy goes, oh, it's a $25,000 roof fix and you're responsible for it. You're out, dude. You're done. You get it? So these are just little things, man, that are so important that you got to understand and be careful of. Single net is the better bet, which basically means that, like, I own my building, so people come and rent my space. That's a single net. The roof leaks, I, as the owner, pay for it. I am the guy that takes care of it. If their air conditioner breaks, I go up and fix it for them. Okay? Now, often, depending on where you're at, you can have a sliding scale of what that cost is relative to the lease. What was some of the average prices that we talked about from a standard across the country? And this is generalizing. Every area is a little different, of course. But across the board, what would be a good number? Remember?
For square footage?
Yeah, square footage.
About 15?
Yeah, about $15. So give or take. You know, you can go up or down on that. But relatively speaking, it was weird. I have some docs went out to Wisconsin. They're $18 a square foot in the middle of Wisconsin. In Georgia here, I can get it for $12 to $14. I go to Manhattan, it's going to be $85 to $125 a square foot. That's why you don't see a lot of big offices, chiropractic offices in Manhattan. But they're also making $90 or $100 a visit cash.
Should be relative.
It's relative, yeah. Right. So you got to look at what inside of that whole thing is. So it's triple net lease for single net lease. I'm giving you broad perspectives here, but it's giving you a good insight of what's happening with those two things. And then there's owner financing, and that's a possibility. So let's talk about the next thing, the more build out, the core. You can go out to the fanciest places and buy the nicest chairs and everything brand new. Or, which is, I don't know if you guys, have you guys priced office furniture? Have anybody looked at that stuff?
Not yet.
It's expensive.
How expensive?
It's astronomically expensive.
Astronomically expensive. Like a chair, leather chair for the front office is anywhere between $1,000 to $1,500. One chair. But you go to a secondhand office furniture store that companies closed up or did whatever, and you just go through, and there's lots of them. Like in Atlanta here, there's probably 25, 30 companies that do that. And they just go in and company closes or they lease them out to them, whatever they do with it. And they have these huge warehouses. I'm talking massive warehouses full of chairs and desks and name it, file a cabinet type of things and you name it. You go there with a wad of cash and you're like, I'll take these 8 chairs, I'll take that. And it's he wants $3,000 for everything, which would have been normally 10, 12 grand.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, look, I'll give you $2,500. I'll give you $2,200. They take it every time. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's leverage in that. So, why would you want to spend a lot of money? And the stuff's in great shape. You just got to find the good stuff, right? You got to do a little homework, do a little due diligence. You got to drive 4, 5, 6, 7 hours to go pick it up. You rent the truck, borrow someone's truck, and you go find the stuff. We drove to Florida and got a whole office from Dr. Greg Lohman and Dr. Louis Cavallo and Jeanette Altieri. They offered a whole office to us in Florida and said, go down and get it. It's yours. Feel like, when you feel like paying us for whatever you think it's worth, pay us. And a few years later, we went up to him and gave him a check and said, thank you for letting us do that. And it was killer. You find opportunities like that, jump on it. It's a great opportunity. And they're out there. You got to jump on them, right? What else we got to do for build out?
Buy computers, filing cabinets, x-rays, TVs, frames for your degrees, like just putting stuff on the wall because you don't want your walls to be empty. It's just like little things like that add up to be a lot. Speakers, like speaker system throughout the office, outlets, putting the outlet in the right place. Like, you know, you got to have it all, little things that you wouldn't even think about. You got to have it put in the exact space while they're building it out because you don't want to realize after they're done, oh, wow, I'm missing an outlet here. Right. Like, what am I...
Yeah, like you need an outlet right beneath your table. You don't want that wire running across the floor where people are gonna trip.
Right. Or you're going to have a bump in the thing and then it looks ugly. So then when you do the build out, you got to cut the concrete up or you got to cut a hole in the floor and run the electrical to that. And you got to make sure that you know what tables you want, where it's going to be, how it's going to be placed. Or if you think you ever want to move the tables around, you put two outlets in the floor. Put one over here, one over there. Right? So you move it around. You want monitors on the wall, you better have one. You better have an outlet there for the monitors and you better have your information wire, your Cat 5 wire going there, and then if you're going to mount it somewhere, you should, if you're building the wall, you should have like a bracket inside that wall so you can mount the mount to. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you can actually put the mount in there. Otherwise, you're looking for studs. You may miss the stud. It may not catch it all the way. Then you got to open the wall back up, and you got to put the. It becomes a disaster. So, like we have hanging down things for our big TVs in the office. I have all extra wood up there to catch those brackets because I knew I was doing that.
Up in the ceiling.
But I may have missed it and been in between the studs. That means I had to tear the ceiling back out, re-put the stuff blocking in there, re-sheetrock it, repaint it. You know how much that cost you?
So in other words, walk through your space, know how you're going to function as a practice before you build any walls.
Literally go through every square inch of the walls and the space. We walked around the office on our hands and knees because we wanted to see it as a kid's perspective.
Tape it out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Tape the floors.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Know that the space that you're allotting for your adjusting area, your x-ray room, know it's big enough before you put the walls up, before you put the electricity in the walls, before you put the plumbing in the floor.
Yeah, often like I'll say 6x9 space and people are like, oh, that's plenty big. And then you put a table in there and you're like, holy crap, this is small. So what you do is you find a place that's 6x9, a room 6x9 somewhere, and if you got to carry your portable adjusting table in there and open it up, then you go there and you open it up and go, oh, this is what a 6x9 space feels like.
Otherwise, you may be changing your technique.
Exactly. So so decor, we went through that, went through some build-out. Well, give me some other points that we're talking about for opening up marketing, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do for marketing, right? So I'll tell you what we did 20 years ago. Oh, my God, it's so long ago. 20 years ago, we drove every day at lunch. Every day at lunch, she hung out the window of the car.
Literally.
Hung out the window, and we taped mailboxes every day for 2 years.
Flyers on mailboxes.
Every day. Mm-hmm. We would do anything we could to get it anywhere.
We knocked on doors.
Yep. We walked door to door.
We went to all of the town hall meetings.
Yep.
We went to the any business association meeting that we could. We got to know the mayor. We got to know the town council. We advertised. We put flyers on cars and parking lots.
Find influencers in your town.
Mm-hmm.
And hang out with them.
Become one.
Right, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Mm-hmm. I hung out with two chiropractors. I was with Lion Life last week for 5 days. I've been in immense training. Dr. Matt came with us and we just did role playing for 5 days. It was incredible. And it was a couple docs that came out and that came out to see us, and it was really exciting to hear these, you know, 15, 20 years in practice, these guys. And I said, any advice for these doctors? And the first comment they made was, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Mm-hmm. And my father used to say that to me every day, show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. And this is why chiropractors need to hang out with chiropractors. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Good chiropractors.
Right. Have good mentors, right? Have good people to bounce it off of, because the reality is that if you don't, I'll show you who you're going to be.
Don't hang out with the guy that you are not congruent with in business, in philosophy, in how you want to raise your family, in your marriage. You know, you want to hang out with the people who believe what you believe.
So going back to our costs, so overhead costs, startup costs, I range it from, if you're lean and mean, anywhere from 25 to 35 startup to anywhere high end to like 60 to 70 to buy your equipment, to get tables in there, do your build out, do everything you got to do. That's lean and mean, dude. That's still cutting corners, right? On the other side of that, when you should have 3 to 6 months of your overhead in the bank. So if you're coming out of the gate and your overhead's 15 grand a month, that's your insurances, that's your leases, that's your rents, that's your
staff,
that's your salary, which you're not paying yourself $1 million.
But you need to have your salary built in.
It's important. You got to build it in. If you don't pay yourself first, you're never going to live. So you have all that stuff down, and say it's 15, say 20 grand, but make it 20 grand, make it easy. The rule of thumb is you should have 60K in the bank just in case until you get yourself rocking and rolling. So, you know, if it's costing you 35, 40 to start up and you should have 60 in the bank and you're doing some, you know, intent marketing, you should have 100K to do the deal. It's a lot of money, man, coming out of school. That's why it's hard to get loans and do that kind of stuff because it's just a lot of cash with no income. So
I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons that I believe a lot of offices end up closing up, because they think you come out so excited for chiropractic. And we were fortunate that we did have each other in practice also, because we had each other to bounce off of and split the duties. But you come out so excited, you think, I'm just going to open the doors and they're going to show up. If you build it, it doesn't mean they're going to come. You have to be prepared. You have to get out there and market. You got to be prepared and know what you're going to be up against. Prepare yourself financially and then jump in.
And, you know, always prepare for the worst. We're naturally optimistic in preparing for the best. And I love that. I love the optimistic side of it. But business has its own language and thing. And so when you don't prepare that way, then...
And the economy.
And the economy. And there's things you don't know. You know, when you... I could teach you everything, and I promise you there's still gaps.
Mother Nature.
Yeah, there's just gaps. There's just things. Like, you could have a major ice storm shut you down for 2 weeks, and you didn't plan for that. And then now you have 2 weeks of revenue that you didn't see coming in, and you think, well, how the hell could you close down for 2 weeks with an ice storm? Live in Atlanta. Live in Atlanta. We closed 2 years ago. We were closed for 5 days. We couldn't open. Yep. So with the weekend and that, we were almost 7 days. We couldn't work.
We're not afraid to drive in it, but the rest of the city wasn't afraid. Yep. Was afraid to function.
It
so.
Rains here. No one shows up.
Yeah, it rains and people show up. So it's you don't know those things. You know what I mean? So you got to look at those things that happen. So listen, we're going to go into more of this. There is a whole other side of, like, what are the costs? Like, what is the numbers? Like what do you need exactly for overhead? I think that could be a good conversation for next time. Just for time's sake, or just to get it all in, it's just a lot for, you know, our 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes here. And plus my battery's going to die on my computer and my chargers inside. So, but listen, these are things that I want you guys to email to me. Go on to www.platformforpeaks.com, email me the stuff, give me some of the requests. I appreciate you guys doing that. I know these are valuable things because these are questions that you don't even know. We are also looking just for people that want to come out and visit the office and say hello to us and get a feel for what a successful chiropractic office looks like and runs like. The door is always open. Just call the office, 678-482-4400. And we could set up a time like that for you guys to run out here and hang out. We are still planning some philosophies on the water. Those dates will be hopefully out very soon. We'll be doing them in Atlanta here at Lake Lanier. We are going to be doing one up and around the Statue of Liberty. And then we're setting a third one up for like somewhere in Key West, somewhere down like that to do that.
Nice.
So we're going to be doing philosophy on the water, and they're going to be sponsored. And it's going to be, like, again, an invite-only kind of thing where it's going to be an application process, a video entrance thing. We want rock stars in chiropractic. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. And we want people that are passionate about what we do. We want people that go out there and serve the purpose of chiropractic subluxation. And we want people that are going to go out there and actually change their communities.
And
so,
fight for it.
And fight for it. One of the things that I really want to in my culture is I want chiropractors lifting up chiropractors. I do this because I think you guys need this so much more than I ever thought you needed it. I don't do this because I have nothing else better to do. I do this because you guys actually do need this. And if I can have my part in the place and then you go out and become successful and you do the same thing, think of the impact in 10, 15 years. Like, it's insane.
And those of you who are listening, you're givers and lovers and servants, and you have friends who need to hear it. So make sure you tell them about this, forward this to them, and help other students and new docs find out these things that they wouldn't otherwise know about.
And listen, man, if you're in practice 15 years, it's never too late to learn.
Nope.
We were at training this week for 5 days of immersion. There was a doctor there. He was 25 years in practice. He left there fired up. He went back. He was geeked up, man, just to go out there and talk the talk.
And guys, we're still learning.
Yeah, I learn every day, guys. So listen, man, my battery's going to die. I love you guys. We got to rock. We'll finish up this session next time. We'll break it down a little more. I know this is a huge subject for many of you. And I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you guys next time.
See you guys later.
Peace out.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Platform for Peaks. I'm your host, Dr. Joseph Clarino. If you're interested in peaking, please contact us at www.sugarhillspinalwellness.com or 678-467-8251.